This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Robert Kyle Ardoin, Secretary of State for the great state of Louisiana for the last 3.5 years, is with us, and he and his staff are revving up for Election Day tomorrow. And it is an important election. In some areas, of course, there are more significant matters on the ballot than others, but all across the state, 4 amendments potentially changing the Louisiana Constitution are going to be weighed in on by voters. And Kyle Ardoin, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. Good to talk with you. Well, what's the turnout forecast?
Well, unfortunately, it's looking pretty low. We are forecasting anywhere from 13% to 15% statewide. We hope that folks will get out and vote and make that number just superficial and really get out there and make their opinions known for our Constitution.
How was early voting, or what was the turnout there?
Well, it was really low. So early voting and absentee for the presidential, as you know, was a little over 890,000. This round, it was 140,000.
140,000. Okay. Now, to put this in perspective, Louisiana has about 4.8 million citizens. Now, some of those are children, of course, so they're not eligible to vote yet. But we have, what, about 3 million, ballpark 3 million, maybe 3.1 million registered voters?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay. So we've already cut off more than a third of the population who are not eligible or just haven't registered to vote as potential voters. And then when we talk about the low percentage, 13% to 15%, we're actually calculating that on the number of registered voters, correct?
Correct.
So we're looking at about 400,000 people in the state who will vote, maybe a few more, maybe a few less. And then if it's a close matter, as some of these amendments may be, about 200,000 people out of 4.8 million can determine the direction of our state. That is unfortunate, isn't it?
It is unfortunate, and I'll throw another wrinkle in there. So the Orleans Parish has all of their municipal offices up for election this round, and so they'll have a much larger turnout than many other areas of the state. So they'll have a higher proportional determination of these constitutional amendments one way or the other. So if folks, you know, don't want one part of the state determining the future of the entire state, then they really need to get out and vote.
And New Orleans, based on the fact that they have a cluttered ballot that includes the mayor's race and the other citywide or parish officials, Orleans Parish, I guess what which would be 25-30% of the electorate, unless there is higher turnout in places like Baton Rouge and other places across the state.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because we're estimating about a 35% turnout in Orleans Parish for that parish elections.
And these amendments are important. Sometimes amendments, as they are presented to us as voters, and it takes 2/3 support in both houses to get them to the ballot, are more pronounced than others, but some of these are significant enough that there has been an effort both for and against. And it would be a shame if a full representative cross-section of the state is not reflected on Election Day.
That's correct. You know, we have significant issues that, you know, the first two amendments, as you know, deal with tax reform. The Third Amendment deals with levy boards and their ability to tax. And then the fourth one deals with increasing the amount of budgetary pull from surplus funds and tight budget years. So, you know, it's very important stuff. It'll determine the trajectory of our state moving forward, our economy, et cetera. And so, I think those are important issues. And then, of course, all the local governments, many of them, have propositions on the ballots in their areas of renewing taxes or reallocating tax dollars, those sorts of things, which are important. So I urge people to look at their ballots. They can use the GoVote app and pull up their sample ballot. It's not going to take long to vote. There aren't going to be long lines because the ballots, except for in Orleans Parish, they're pretty short everywhere else. So I urge people to just take a few moments before they go to Tiger Stadium or whichever mm-hmm. football game they're going to or kids' games, that sort of thing. It won't take long at all.
Kyle Ardoin with us in our remaining moments with him. One segment today from the Secretary of State, 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org. A few emails regarding the election, and obviously these amendments can be affected by what we just stated. For example, the Orleans Parish turnout being higher than normal. How are they determined as to which time of the year they go on the ballot, asked Tracy at the Capitol?
The legislature determines when constitutional amendments are placed on the ballot. I just have to put it on the ballot when they tell me to. Normally, this year would not be a statewide election, but they felt these issues were important enough to put them on the ballot this year and make sure it was a statewide election. And unfortunately, we probably would have had this in October, but obviously Ida impacted that, and we had to move the election back to November 13th and December 11th. So that complicated things as well.
But you advocated that.
Yes, I did. Yeah, because there was no way we could pull off the election in the timing that Ida hit. And with the COVID economy, the supply chain of necessary resources to be able to provide temporary polling locations really created a lot of issues for us. And so we were right in pushing that back.
All right. Jack on Highland commends you for your website and wants to know how many hits do you get usually in a traditional election? Like on election night, this will be different, but nonetheless, people will be curious.
I don't have the number of hits, but we get hit a lot. Obviously, our GoVote app is very popular, and our website, because we refresh it every 2 minutes as the clerks transmit the votes to our system, and then we put it out to the people. So it's a lot of people look for those numbers, and those are the unofficial numbers, and then those are the ones we use to certify the election. So I appreciate him complimenting our website.
All right. And in other parts of the country, now this may be related somewhat to the fact that in Louisiana we haven't had any razor-tight elections of late, at least not statewide. We, of course, remember Steve Carter and Franklin Foyle. That one was about as razor-tight as you can get. But the allegations of so-called voter fraud have been minimal in Louisiana. We're using some of the same types of machines that are used in other parts of the country. The question from the listener, Kyle, is whether this has become the new mantra that if you lose a close election, instead of conceding to the other person, the first option is to claim voter fraud.
Well, that is an unfortunate circumstance where we are in today's political world. If everybody claimed fraud just because they lost a race, whether it was by 5 votes or 10,000 or 50,000 votes, we look at things very closely. We take all reports of fraud very seriously. We investigate them. I've got 2 new investigators coming on my staff already, so that'll make 6 for the state. The difference for Louisiana than other states is that all parishes are doing the same things, following the same processes and procedures, whereas in other states, the counties do it differently. Each county can have different types of machines, different type voting systems, where in Louisiana, we all use the same machines, whether it's early voting or election day. And our absentee ballot process is very stringent and much better than many other states. But we follow everything, we count everything, we recount everything, and we feel confident in the system that we have, but we're always looking for ways to improve, and we will continue to do that.
Well, we have, 13 hours to vote tomorrow, so there really is no excuse. There are some football games, but the polls open pretty early, don't they?
They do. Polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. So on your way to tailgate, you certainly can go by because most everybody's precincts is within about 5 miles of their home at the most. So there's really no excuse not to be able to get up, run there, 2 minutes, check in and vote and be out of there.
And there aren't likely to be long lines either, so you should be able to really get in and out quickly. So,
Definitely. I'd be surprised if there were any lines at all.
Well, Kyle Ardwin, thank you for your service, and we look forward to an update, and we'll do this again in December.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you. God bless.
Okay, keep going. Kyle Ardwin, Secretary of State, Louisiana, elected twice, succeeded Tom Shedler, who resigned, and then won a full 4-year term and presumably will be running for re-election. One of the few statewide officials not running for governor, at least as far as we know, is Kyle Ardwin, and his re-election comes in 2 years. And we'll be back after this quick timeout with more Talk Louisiana in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And in short order, we are slated to be joined by Jeff Saddo from the Northland of Shreveport, where he is professor of political science at LSU Shreveport. On the right side of the political spectrum and joining us on the left side, Dane Sherman from Ponchatoula, who, of course, is a noted blogger and a novelist, man of many talents, been with us many times, just as Jeff Saddo has, and they are both professors in the COVID age, too. So we have much to catch up with them about, and tomorrow's an election day in Louisiana. And as far as trend lines, we don't have the same kind of attention that they had in New Jersey and in Virginia last week. And in those races, those were good races for Republicans. Even though the Republican did not win in New Jersey, he came close. Terry McAuliffe came close to winning in Virginia, but he did not win. And he was, of course, the most prominent person on the ballot as the former head of the Democratic National Committee, former governor of Virginia, and he lost. And those margins were about the same, about 2 points in both states, Virginia and in New Jersey. But in New Jersey, the Republican who lost is claiming voter fraud, where Terry McAuliffe, he ultimately said, I lost, that's it. I congratulate the new governor of Virginia, and it's not me. And Dane Sherman is joining us first. And Dane, your thoughts about why in the political world, and we talked a bit about this with Kyle Ardwin, the new mantra instead of conceding defeat is to claim voter fraud. Your thoughts?
It goes way back, Jim, and thanks for having me on the show. You know, in older times, it was considered waving the bloody shirt, and it was a way of revenge and a way to say that, you know, it's sour grapes taken to the 10th power. And I think it's just a way in a current period when we have such a difficulty discerning what's true and what's not, many people, that they're unable to accept the facts, and the politicians and the political consultants and the PACs and all these other groups are making big profit off of it. So I think we're stuck with this for a while.
Well, I think we have been joined now by Jeff Saddo in Shreveport. And Jeff, if you missed it, we're talking about how last week the Republicans had a good week in regaining the governor's office in Virginia and also getting some other offices, too. It was really an impressive showing for the GOP in Virginia. In New Jersey, the Democrat, Phil Murphy, barely held on. But in New Jersey, the loser has been claiming that the election might be fraudulent, where in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe next day said, congratulations, I'm on my way, thank you for supporting me, but I didn't get enough votes. Why is the mantra now, at least in some instances, such that immediately the first option rather than the last resort is to claim somebody's stealing the election from me, or am I being unfair, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in 2016, you had Democrats saying that, Clinton campaign. You had Stacey Abrams saying that in 2018 in Georgia. in New Jersey, you know, you always have to be a little suspicious about what goes on there. New Jersey, after all, is one of the few states that will send out ballots to everybody. And so there's been some very credible big investigative series about how voter fraud has occurred there, someone admitting about the thousands of ballots he had cooked up over the years. So, you know, I can see why maybe New Jersey candidates might be a little more excitable on this particular issue.
Dane, is Jeff onto something or is he off target?
Look, no, he's off target. This is about grift. This is about making money. This is about furthering grievances. This is about the next election, either for you or for the people you're working with. It's about casting doubt on the whole system. It is illegitimate. And to give props to Ardoin, Louisiana has such a great system. We have one of the best websites for any state. I'll be up Saturday night looking at how these races went, particularly the amendments. And it's fiction is what it amounts to.
All right, Patrick in Innisfail State, your first up, Patrick. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I remember, in 2016, somehow Donald Trump won because we all colluded with Russia to vote for him, and somehow Facebook helped the election. And I remember, I think it was like 4 years, and then I think they even tried to impeach Trump twice because he colluded with Russia somehow to win the election. And for 4 years, I listened to this radio show talk about how the election was rigged for Donald Trump, and now all of a sudden we don't have that problem. We don't have rigged elections.
All right. Who got more votes in 2016, Patrick, who just hung up? But thank God for Patrick. David in Atlanta. David, good morning.
You know, if I didn't think I was a sane person, I'd have my head examined. How can the five Republican representatives in Louisiana in the Congress and John Kennedy vote against President Biden's infrastructure? Louisiana was devastated by a recent hurricane. Probably a million people lost electricity. There was flooding. President Biden's bill will provide better levee protection, harden the electrical grill, and the Republicans don't care a scintilla about the people in Louisiana. They only care about bringing down a Democratic president.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Jeff, five Republicans did vote against the trillion-dollar plan that Joe Biden touted, and it does have a lot of goodies for Louisiana, and then Kennedy is against it in the Senate. Cassidy is for it. But you know, these same Republicans voted for, the ones who were there, they voted for a trillion-dollar plan that Donald Trump floated. Why is suddenly bean counting the mantra today and it wasn't a few years ago?
Yeah, when we looked at the bill that was passed right at the beginning of the year, that was questionable in terms of its necessity. You know, the reason being, just like with the next couple coming up here, that, you know, we need it for recovery, et cetera, et cetera. And that was kind of questionable. But certainly, you know, we go on to this next one, which is not so much infrastructure and much more in the way of just outright pork or other kinds of spending. You know, that you know, I could see where you'd have objections to that for those members of Congress and for Senator Kennedy. You know, for those other issues such as disaster recovery and prevention of future disasters and all that, that could be done with a standalone bill. And from the recovery aspect, that's what was proposed. That's not what a Democratic Congress wanted to do. And so, you know, that's why, you know, it's kind of a false issue to try to put them together.
Dane?
No, it's always the same thing. Republicans don't care about deficits. They don't care about spending until Democrats get power. And if anybody doesn't see that, they're not being honest with the facts. This happens over and over. You can see it. You can read about it. You can listen to it. It happens every single time that there's no such thing as deficit issues. There's no such thing as any kind of spending problems until a Democrat takes office.
Daniel in South Baton Rouge. Daniel, you're on the air with Jeff and Dane. Hi, Daniel.
I totally agree with your last person that made that comment. about the Democrats and the Republicans don't care about deficit until, unless it's for rich folks. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's what Democrats and Republicans are all about to me, in my personal opinion. That's all they mean.
All right. Well, the deficit, by the way, last year reached, actually 2 years ago now, reached a record high of $3.1 trillion. That's for 1 year, 1 year. And by the way, a trillion is $1 million. So that's $3 million. $3.1 trillion. And under Joseph Robinette Biden, at least the last 9 months he's been in charge, the fiscal year ending on September 30th, the current deficit has gone down to $2.8 trillion. So once again, a Democratic president is, at least for 1 year, lowering the deficit. And we've seen this before with Obama and Clinton. And unlike any president in modern time, Bill Clinton actually left office with a surplus. We'll talk more with Jeff and Dane when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And let's go to Rose on government. Rose, good morning. You're on with Jeff Sado and Dane Sherman. Hello, Rose. Good morning.
I just want to say, you know, I vote every time. If there's a voting for a dog catcher, I'm going to vote. I'm always going to be there. But I don't like that we keep moving the lines around for who can vote and who cannot vote. And also keeping people from getting water. Really? Why do we limit voting? Why don't we let everybody vote? And why don't our representatives represent us, the poor and the rich?
All right. Thank you, Rose. Now, Jeff, do you believe she's referring to the new law in Georgia. Do you believe that that's gone too far, or are they on the right track in the Peach State?
No, actually, in Georgia, Texas, a few other places that have made some recent changes. In that, these changes often mirror those that are existing in other states right now, including blue states. So I don't see any problem with that. I mean, we need to make sure that every verifiable, legal, legitimate vote can be counted.
All right, Dane, I'm sure you have a different perspective.
Yeah, I want to just let our listeners in on a secret. And the secret is that Democrats want you to vote and Republicans want some of you to vote. And that is the difference. And I don't have anything to add to that other than anybody that thinks handing somebody a cold water when the particular system is not set up for long lines and hot sun during a voting period, you're just not up to date on what's going on in the real world.
Mike in Villa Del Rey, you're on with Jeff Sado and Dane Sherman. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Good evening. Good morning. You know, it seems to me as a no-party voter that when the Democrats come in, they want to get us ready for the year 25-25, and the Republicans look like they want to keep us in 1950. But Professor Dane Sherman nailed it when it comes to deficits. All you got to do is look at just what he said, and it's true. So I'm out.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Dane and Jeff. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, gentlemen. You know something that in our Congress, there are 535 legislators, and 525 of them are millionaires. I swear, we are being played. The right wing says that Obama is a Muslim, and then gave Rush Limbaugh the Medal of Freedom. But
there you go. But
really.
Hold on, Phil. Now, one of those few non-millionaires is Clay Higgins. Do we need more Clay Higgins?
No, we do not. I mean, he's the problem. He is a problem.
Well, maybe we need more millionaires.
If we could all be millionaires, I tell you what, I want to have the same benefits that my congressman does.
Well, these are special people. These are special people. After all, the senators have their own private gym. The staff members, not allowed, only senators. And John Kennedy says he's using it. He's buffing up for the next election, which is next year. And Dane, he does have an opponent in Luke Mixon, but Is Senator Kennedy going to be seriously challenged, or is he going to go on cruise control and get another 6 years? By the way, in 9 days, we want to wish the senator an early happy birthday. In 9 days, he'll be 70 years old. Happy 70th, John Neely Kennedy. Dane, your thoughts about the future of our junior senator?
No question. You've announced it. Nobody has any questions. I'm a Democrat. And I think Luke Mixon has a great resume, and he's very qualified. He's probably the most qualified for the job. But Kennedy's going to win re-election without much trouble.
And then he'll have lots of money left over to either run for governor or run for president or just wait around and give it to other people. Most likely, though, he'll look at something. He's a political animal, as we know. He's run for a lot of races. He ran for governor in 2003 and then withdrew when Bobby Jindal got in, but he ran for attorney general in 91. He ran for the U.S. Senate 3 times. Jeff Sato, for a guy who's 70 years old, John Kennedy looks like he's going to be with us for a while.
Well, one more term, I'm pretty sure of that in the Senate. After that, I'm not so sure. I'm 76 years old at that point, more or less. So, I don't know. But we're going to
isn't Charles Grassley running for re-election at 88? So
yeah, there are a few. I'm not sure if he's that diehard though about it.
I hope he's using that Senate gym as Senator Grassley is now. Kennedy, though, he's become one of the best known senators in America. And Bill Cassidy has gotten more than his fair share of attention, too. No, not nearly the type that John Kennedy has. And Cassidy right now is making moves that show that at least he is exploring. I don't know if he's going to do it, but he's exploring the idea of running for governor. And Dane, would he be viable, or is he poisoned to Republicans and too conservative for Democrats? What's your take on the future of William Morgan Cassidy, our senior senator?
Cassidy's moves have been really fascinating. When Kennedy moved right, he stayed right. Cassidy moved right, and now he's kind of coming back to a sane middle. And I think he has an incredible shot at being governor because of the jungle primary. I think he has the chance to be in that runoff with somebody like Jeff Landry. And, you know, most people are going to vote for Cassidy, and he's going to win. So I think his chances are really high if he decides to take the risk. He is facing an incredible amount of pushback from people in his own party. I mean, when I see any post on Facebook, he could post his love for the Star Spangled Banner, and about 3/4 of the comments are going to be vicious, and that's every single time.
Well, Jeff, I'm sure you have some concerns about Senator Cassidy's moves of late, but is he viable? Now, and we've talked about this, Dane's right on. I think he would have no shot in a closed primary, zero. But in an open primary, I think he does have a realistic shot, if he wants to be governor of Louisiana.
Yeah, it's realistic, sure. You know, we have to look at the dynamics of the other candidates, though. I think we've got trying to occupy, if he runs, I think the space that is trying to be taken by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And then, of course, you know, we'll have other people, more pure conservatives, let's say, who are running. So, a lot of elbows being thrown there. It'd be no guarantee that he could get to a runoff, but he would be, in pretty decent shape if he did make it to runoff.
And last time, David Vitter made the runoff with 23% of the votes. So it would seem that a sitting U.S. senator, either one of them, could get 23%. And don't count John Kennedy completely out of this either. He could end up saying, "I want to be," and that would be something if we had both U.S. senators running for governor. Bill Huey writes, Donald Trump made claims of election fraud fashionable among losers. He did it in 2016, saying that if he lost, he would because the election was rigged. Did it again in 2020 because he believed there was no way he could have lost to Joe Biden, and 50 courts turned him and his claims away. But as long as people believe Donald Trump and refuse to acknowledge facts, writes Bill, we'll have this problem. Are people still latching on to Trump being wrongly deprived of the White House, Jeff?
Well, you know, we've got a couple investigations going in Arizona and Wisconsin that are finding more than non-significant amount of questionable ballots. At the same time, it have to be a fairly significant mass for there to be any question about the election at all. So, you know, I think the real problem here is that given the rules that a lot of states were operating under in 2020, they took the very small, minuscule chance that we normally have. We have problems with election integrity, and they magnified it considerably. I mean, not to a large extent, but just much larger than the very small place that it was in. And that's, I think that's something that has sensitized people to this issue.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. Dane and Jeff with us for a bit longer, and another listener. This one is Hal in Monroe asking about the guy Glenn Youngkin, who won in Virginia, defeating Terry McAuliffe. He was a Eddie Rasponi type candidate, a first timer, a business guy, and he's regarded as a genius in winning a close election. And Rasponi, Jeff, was regarded as a klutz and a guy out of his league for losing a close election. What do you make of this?
Well, the difference, big difference, being that Rasponi did not run a great campaign. There are a number of missed opportunities. This quixotic, vendetta in some ways with Abraham. I mean, with Youngkin, basically he recognized the top issues, the things that were going to get him there in terms of differential voters favoring him over McAuliffe. And it's very interesting in Virginia because you saw just basically exactly the same turnout this time, 2021, as in 2020, if you break it down by ideological identification and party identification. And yet the result was different because of the way the campaign was run. And plus, of course, with Trump, people one way or the other with Trump, and a few too many, let's say, independents and Republicans are soured on him.
Well, before we hit the break, Dane, was that outcome in Virginia a big deal?
All indication historically was that the Democrats couldn't win it. But then what happened is in the last couple weeks, the whole thing flipped toward Youngkin, and that was surprising. The Democrats weren't supposed to win.
All right, we do have to take a break, but we'll return with the erudite Dane Sherman and the equally smart Jeff Sado. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Still time to get in under the wire with Dane Sherman on the left, Jeff Sado on the right. 877-217-5757. Another listener reflects on Governor John Bel Edwards' monthly radio show last time in October. He stated that he probably has run for his last office. Now, John Bel Edwards is 54 years old, 55 now, just made 55 on September 16th. Dane Sherman, he's term limited, but he has options, and he could, of course, could sit out 4 years and run again. Do you think we've heard the last of your neighbor in the great city of Amite?
Yeah, if that's what he wants to do, you know, if he's done with electoral politics, that's one thing. But I think it would be a tragedy for the country for him not to be involved in a United States president's administration. I think he's qualified, and I think he's well would do well to serve in a Democratic presidential administration. I hope he considers it, and I hope he's considered for it.
All right. Now, he has not ruled out a cabinet post if he were offered, but Jeff, is he through as an elected official?
Yeah. There's really, as a Democrat in the state, if he wants to stay elected at the statewide level, and that would basically mean Congress or the Senate, He's not going to win that election. So, I think what he's going to be looking for now is some kind of employment outside of Louisiana, let's say. And, of course, that may be very limited, too. Gives, you know, his term ends in 2023, unless he wants to leave that early, then mm-hmm. he may miss that.
Well, look at Bobby Jindal. He's kind of a non-entity in his home state. He still lives in Baton Rouge, but rarely does he talk publicly. He's involved in boards, writes a few editorials here and there for the Wall Street Journal, but he's only 50 years old. Jeff, I know you liked him a lot, and you weren't alone. Is he through, or will we have a second act from Bobby Jindal in the electoral process?
Yeah, you know, he is only 50, and you know, it would seem odd or unusual that he wouldn't at least try some kind of comeback somewhere at some time. And we've seen before some people out for even 20 years and try again. I mean, look at Biden.
Well, look at Jerry Brown, Brown made incremental steps. He ran for mayor of Oakland and won. Then he ran for attorney general of California and won. And then ultimately became governor in 2010, which was 28 years after he had left office. But he did it. But we got a few folks waiting in line. Mike downtown. Mike, you're on with Dane and Jeff. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Jim? I just wanted to ask, I think it was Jeff that said something about they found evidence in Arizona and Wisconsin. That is a complete lie. And you know, our Democratic Republic will not survive if we continue to have lies and misrepresentations. I mean, Jeff, I mean, what did they find? I sat and watched their three-hour presentation to the Senate. They found nothing.
All right, Jeff. And those races were decided by more than 10,000 votes. But I'm discerning that you're not convinced that they were on the up and up.
Well, we don't have time to go over this over the air, but I would refer the caller back a couple of weeks ago. Series of articles appeared in Real Clear Politics. If you go back and search, you'll see what I mean there. But you're correct in that Wisconsin, I think, it was 22,000 ballots, and even with what has been found there, it still wouldn't equal 22,000.
Dane, your thoughts?
Again, we're back into fiction. The caller's right; it's just fiction. We're talking about something that's really a non-issue, but again, it's back to waving the bloody shirt. It's back to creating something out of nothing for the next election.
All right, Elizabeth on Jefferson. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, two questions real quick. What role does the media play in stirring up all the confusion about elections in our country today? And number two, no one is, or few people are commenting except citizens about the condition of the president's mental capacities. I'd like for each of you to make quick comment about both of those.
All right. Well, here we go again. Elizabeth is Elizabeth Dent Sumrall, who's a ranking conservative, widow of Fred Dent, one of my dear friends. is Joe Biden out of his tree, Dane? Let's start there. Has he lost his mind, or is this just politics? What do you think?
It's craven politics, and it's ridiculous. It's part of the right wing kabuki theater, where you take somebody that really had as the generals mentioned, believe that Trump was really off his rocker, and they blame it on Biden. It's the weirdest thing
in
the world.
Well, I think both men are of sound mind, maybe not sound body, but sound mind. Jeff Sato, your thoughts about whether Joe Biden is all there?
Yeah, well, you know, you watch some press conferences that he actually, very few that he actually has where he's the participant. You watch those and, you know, you kind of wonder where things are going, but, so far, he's functioning. So, I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking both of you gentlemen again soon. Thank you, Dane Sherman. Thank you, Jeff Satto. Let's do it again. 877-217-5757. We turn the page, and some of a certain age remember the musical Godspell, which had a big hit. Delandra, can we? There we go. I think some people recognize this piece of music, one of the great ones of all time. 1973, I believe.
Day by day, day by day.
Good stuff. And tonight, Theater Baton Rouge brings the musical Godspell to the stage. There'll be a few shows, but it all starts at 7:30 tonight. And with us is Jenny Ballard, who runs the show. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about the production.
So the production's going to be amazing. We do open tonight. We are doing the 2012 revival of Godspell, which there's not much of a change between the productions. The biggest difference is there is a much rockier feel to it. The orchestra is amazing. And the tempos are a lot faster. It's a lot more modern and upbeat. And there's some new songs in the revival there that are not in the original version, including Beautiful City, which is just an amazing song. This cast is epic. I don't remember the last time we had singers on the stage that sounded like this. It is one of the best sounding shows I have ever heard.
That's wonderful. November 12th through the 14th, that would be Friday through Sunday.
Yes.
And then next week too.
That's right, two weekends.
18th through the 21st.
That's exactly right.
So the 21st, you'll actually, start on, I guess, Thursday night next week, right?
That's right.
So if I count it right, that's seven shows?
Yes, seven shows
seven
total.
Shows. 7:30 with Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Masks and proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test are required. For more information, you can call 924-6496, 225-924-6496, or visit theaterbatonrouge.org, and that's theater with an R-E, theaterbr.org, theaterbr.org. Now, it's always difficult to get into a character, but I mean, you talk about a task, a guy playing Jesus.
I know. Those are some big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest Capricorn of them all, Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
And Austin Ventura. Tell us about Austin.
So Austin's wonderful. He's been working with us for years. His most recent large role that he played with us, he played Jack Kelly in 2019 when we did Disney's Newsies. And he's really the perfect person to play Jesus. He's a lovely, grounded, honest, real, compassionate young man. And one of the things that I think is very special about Godspell is that we get to see Jesus as a human being instead of seeing the Jesus that we all know and love from the Bible. It's really fascinating to see him go through all of these human struggles and navigate his final days leading up to the Last Supper and the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. It's a really powerful, really beautiful story of redemption and hope and taking the onus upon ourselves as a community to do better by each other, for each other. It's really, really important.
And he's joined by a good cast, including a gentleman with a great name, Red Price.
It's actually Ren Price, although I've told him to change his name to Red Price.
All right, well, I'm reading a newspaper account. He's referred to as Red Price. I think he needs to go with it.
I know, I told him.
It's Ren Price.
Ren Price.
Okay.
And Ren is amazing. You know, Judas is such a complicated character, and I think he has made him a real person as well. He's a great actor. He's a great singer. You will not be disappointed.
Judas.
He's playing John the Baptist and Judas.
And Judas.
Yep.
Well, those are distinct roles, obviously.
Yes, very distinct.
Ren must be a versatile man.
He certainly is.
Well, the cast will be accompanied on stage by a six-piece orchestra. Is that right?
They're actually on stage the entire time. We get to see Jonathan Thomas, the music director, conducting, and the orchestra is just dynamite.
Well, that is fabulous. And this, of course, is a musical which inspired a lot of people, too. And it has legs, almost 50 years. And Godspell, starting tonight. Tickets available?
Yes, tickets are available. Like you said, theaterbr.org or 924-6496.
Thank you, Jenny Ballard. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Stay safe and stay tuned.